The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, and he asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, and looking downcast, one of them, named Cleopas, said in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these last few days?" "What things?" he said to them. And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to a sentence of death, and they crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all of this, it is now the third day since it happened. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and they came back and reported what they had seen, a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but they did not see him. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and so enter into glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them what referred to him in all the scriptures. And as they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was still going further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' And so he went in with them. And it happened that while he was at table with them, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he now vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has been truly raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord. I have often debated, and people have advised me, where to stand when I'm giving a homily. Some people say they prefer the ambo. When I used to stand here, people at the back said, "We can't see you." So I said, "Okay, I'll stand up here." And that appears to accommodate most of the thing. After that, I think the profound desire is that it wouldn't take too long. So otherwise, we're fine. Let me look at this gospel. This is an extraordinary gospel. It's one of my favorite teachings, narratives in the four gospels. It appears only in the book of Luke. No mention of Emmaus in Matthew, Mark, and John. So it's unique to Luke. And it's at the very end of the Gospel of Luke. It's the last teaching in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. There are one or two things that are really important about this, fundamental. When I take pilgrim groups to Jerusalem, over many years, and many of you have been there, the first thing we learn is Jerusalem is your place of destiny. is the biblical symbol of our place of destiny, death and resurrection. Real life, Jerusalem is our destiny. That's a figurative biblical symbol here. Second thing is our first day after arriving in Jerusalem, we go to Bethlehem to see the birth of Christ. And now we begin to look at the public life of Christ. And the first place we go in all our pilgrimages is Abu Ghosh, which is Emmaus. Now, biblical scholars will debate where exactly Emmaus is, but Abu Ghosh is one of the three most probable places for Emmaus mentioned here in the Gospel of Luke. So we go there. There's a Benedictine monastery there. It's very quiet, and it's a place of prayer. And the teaching of this gospel and the teaching of the moment is so fundamental that you cannot begin the journey of discipleship without first encountering the teaching of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So let me look at this for a few moments to summon some teaching that will maybe speak to us in our own journey of life. These two disciples are walking away from Jerusalem. Cleopas is mentioned. The other disciple may well have been his wife, since in the patriarchal culture of the time, the man might be the only one mentioned. It could be his wife or a companion, but they're spoken of as disciples of Jesus. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the place of destiny. And they are downcast. Watch the symbol here. They're walking into the sunset. They're walking into the shadows, into the darkness. Whatever happened in Jerusalem, they're totally disillusioned. They are disappointed. We had hoped that this was the Messiah. We had hoped that this man would give us new life and a new freedom and a new understanding of the people of Israel. And yet everything was crushed. We're disappointed. We're dejected. It says they're downcast, walking into the sunset, away from the place of destiny. Second thing about it is they tend to console one another. That happens to us. They feed one another's darkness. What are we discussing? Things didn't work out. The novena failed. God didn't answer my prayer. My children disappointed me. People betrayed me. You're right. And I'll walk with you and I'll feed your disillusionment and you'll feed my disillusionment, and we're walking away from the place of destiny. So watch this. We had hoped. All our expectations are crushed. Our family let us down. The church let us down. The church failed us. The priest didn't show up. We were embarrassed by the church. We're going to walk away. And watch the teaching that comes to us, however. So Jesus walks with them. That's interesting. He doesn't turn them around. He walks with them away from their place of destiny. He walks with them into darkness. And as long as they're talking, they don't learn anything. You don't learn anything when you're talking. But when they stop talking and they listen, then they become enlightened. And Jesus says, did you not know that the Messiah had to suffer, had to be persecuted, had to die in order to rise again? Didn't you know that suffering is part of the journey of life? You left, you were impatient, you were demanding. You left before the story finished. Had you waited around, you would have seen the resurrection, but you were impatient, you were demanding, and you left before the story finished. Now he will say to them, Didn't you know that the only way to get to light is through darkness? The only way to get to love, profoundly love, is through sacrifice. The only way to get to faith is through doubt and struggle and questioning. It's the only way to get to a place of faith. Didn't you know that the Messiah had to suffer? Oh, well, I didn't know the Messiah had to suffer. I'm a disciple. And Jesus says, I can trust you with the blessings of life. Can I trust you with the cross? Well, no. Just give me the blessings. Do I really have to carry the cross? Well, yes, you do. That's Jerusalem. It's the place of destiny. You go through light, darkness. It's the whole economy of discipleship. So don't rush. Wait for the story to finish. And he enlightens them. But they're still not convinced, so they keep walking into the darkness. And they come to Emmaus. Now, some scholars, biblical scholars, believe that Emmaus was a place where there was a spa. It was a kind of a worldly pleasure place. Be like the Las Vegas, okay? So when we really get upset and downcast, we tend to run away and to find worldly consolations. We drink too much, take drugs, we live out of character because we're disappointed and we can't handle the cross, and so we look for worldly consolations. That's exactly what's happening. They're walking away. And then Jesus opens up the scripture for them, and then he shares the meal with them. And when he breaks the bread, they recognize Jesus in the breaking of bread. He disappears, and they go back to the church, back to Jerusalem immediately. Now they begin to understand, were not our hearts burning when he spoke to us on the road? Didn't we know that suffering is part of discipleship? Didn't we know that we have to have sacrifice in our lives if we are to have a full life? Didn't we know that we can't be demanding if we are to love? Didn't we know that life is imperfect? Wait for the story to finish. Back to Jerusalem they go and say, now we know the whole story. Jesus has risen and has appeared to us. Now we have hope. Now we have meaning. Now we have some grasp of the true meaning of life. Didn't you know that this is real life? Now, some things happen in life. I remember some years ago, there were some high-end athletes, Dodgers, member of the Dodgers team, who were in a boating accident down in Florida, and it turned out that whoever's driving the boat was late at night, he was intoxicated and ran into a bridge, and three players were killed. And I remember Tommy Lasorda at the funeral saying, how could God do this? How could God do what? I'm going to blame God because you ran into a bridge in the middle of the night when you were drinking? Are you going to blame God? Yes, we have to blame God. And yet there are things in life that are not easy to explain. There are sufferings that are mysterious. There are burdens placed upon us that we cannot answer. There are problems given to us that appear not to have a solution. There are certain experiences of life, problems that are not meant to be solved. They're meant to be shared. Did you not know that this is the meaning of life? And so we come to Mass, and we receive the bread which is broken, broken. The blood which is poured out. And St. Augustine said, behold who you are, and become what you receive. You don't just receive Eucharist, you become Eucharist. So you become the bread which is broken and the blood which is poured out. Did you not know that this is the meaning of discipleship and belonging to Jesus Christ? Where in your life? Where are you disappointed? What happened in your life that crushed you? What expectations did you have? Your children disappointed you. Your elders were insufficient. There's humanity in your husband, your wife. There's humanity in your friends. There's humanity in the church. But did we not know that the Messiah has to suffer in order to rise from the dead? I have mentioned this before, I think. There was an elderly priest, an Irish fellow, this years ago, and he was at Nazareth House for retired priests. And he was grouchy. He used to take a few drinks here and there. But he was very wise. He was a voracious reader. And he was a good friend of mine. I used to go to see him all the time. And whenever I was leaving him, I'd say, John, teach me something. He was a very wise man. Say something wise to me. Give me a gift. Well, he said some things that weren't so wise. But on one occasion, he said to me, remember this, he said. If you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once. I said, John, I won't forget that. By myself, in my own journey of life, I have walked to Emmaus with disillusionment, with disappointment. I have walked into shadows, and I have encountered the power of Jesus Christ that said, go back to Jerusalem, go back to the place of sacrifice, because that's the place of true life. Abu Ghosh.